Today, the International Monetary Fund ministers agreed on a new response to the financial crises that have swept through much of the developing world in recent years, battering Asia, Russia, and now Argentina. The finance ministers ordered the IMF to develop a way for cash-strapped countries to essentially declare bankruptcy. Instead of simply defaulting on debt or emptying their national coffers, financially troubled countries could force creditors to negotiate more lenient terms of repayment. U.S. Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill has backed this approach. Earlier today, O'Neill called for a graceful way to settle problems between creditors and debtors that doesn't penalize the people in debtor nations.
As far as I'm concerned, these issues are about how we perfect the instruments of government and international organizations so that innocent human beings not be the casualties of our ignorance or stupidity.
O'Neill has pushed for other changes, including converting development assistance from grants to loans and insisting that aid produce measurable results. The World Bank is the developed world's biggest mechanism for combating poverty. Much of the money is in the form of loans, which saddles the recipients with massive debt. That ongoing condition has prompted the Bush administration to propose a new way of doing things, more outright grants and fewer loans, and measurable results or else no more money. The proposal has created a rift between the White House and the World Bank. Reporter Deepak Gopinath writes about this dispute in the current issue of Institutional Investor magazine.
The Bush administration wants the World Bank to give less loans and more grants. The Bush administration believes that saddling poor countries with loans will only make their economic situation worse and make it very hard for them to repay their debt.
What about measuring the results of the loans and grants that are given to poor countries? Is there a difference between the World Bank's approach to that and the Bush administration's approach to that?
Yes, the World Bank has a quasi-independent body called the Operations Evaluation Department that measures project success. However, there is really less focus on exactly what a project has achieved sort of long-term. The tangible benefits are not really clear through the World Bank process. So what the Bush administration wants to do is come up with a very simple set of numbers which can act as proxies for how well projects have done in, say, improving healthcare or education or the business environment in a country. So these are measures like, for example, the number of children graduating from primary school, the number of people being inoculated. And this is something new, and it's not something that the World Bank has been doing in the past.
And is there any particular reason that the World Bank hasn't done it that way? It seems to be logical that you would want some firm measure of improvement in conditions before you would continue to dole out more money.
Yes, it would. However, measuring things using these proxy indicators, it's very difficult and very complex. And it's easy sometimes to get sort of distorted results of what's going on. But because of Bush administration pressure, the World Bank is now moving to incorporate some of these outcome measures in their lending to the poorest countries.
What is the ratio between grants and loans that are given to poor countries now, and what does the Bush administration want for that ratio?
The World Bank has a program for lending to the poorest countries, and the Bush administration wanted half of the funds dispersed by that program to go out in grant form. European countries objected to that. They were worried about the sustainability of this aid program long term, because the aid program relies on basically repayments to sustain it over time. So when a country repays its loan, that goes back into the fund and then is relent. So they were concerned that if such a large proportion goes to grants, that it might undermine the program long term. A compromise was reached in which 18% to 21% of the funds would be in grant form. And this was a compromise that suited all parties. That's partly because the U.S. has approximately an 18% shareholding stake in this funding program, so therefore they can claim that at least all the money they give is going in grant form. And the Europeans and the World Bank feel that with an 18% to 21% grant component, the future of the program is not compromised.
You imply in your article that some of this is personal. It seems to be the World Bank president, James Wolfensohn, in one corner and Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill in the other. How do each of these men and their positions exemplify the larger dispute here?
I think Paul O'Neill is coming to this situation with a very pragmatic businessman's approach, and he makes a very valid point when he says we've spent billions of dollars on aid over the last four decades, and we still have so much poverty, we really don't have all that much to show for it. And that's a very, very valid point. Jim Wolfensohn, on the other hand, argues that we have been working very hard. Yes, we haven't done well enough, but we've learned much more about how to make aid effective, and we are trying our best to do that.
Are there any indications that world poverty has actually improved with this infusion of money by the World Bank and others?
The issue is really that poverty has not decreased as much as people would have hoped when they started giving all this money. Clearly, Africa lags way behind. The standard of living is well below what it was in the 70s. In Latin America, despite a few successes in Chile, for example, we have seen standards of living again stagnate. Argentina has really regressed dramatically in the last year. Even Mexico, which is held up to be a success, wages are still below where they were 10 years ago before they had a crisis. So overall, the picture is much less rosy or optimistic than it should have been.
Deepak Gopinath is a senior writer at Institutional Investor Magazine. Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you.